Hello. I trust you're all having a good day. You know you have to fight your way through the grace of God to have a bad day. So I'm trusting that you've not been determined and intentional about having a bad day. So because we're in Lent and we're still doing our thing in John, following up from what we talked about yesterday at our noon time yesterday, our Eucharist yesterday, that in chapter 6, as Jesus was, disciples were walking away from him because he talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And then he speaks to them about his words being spirit and life. And then he says, the flesh profits nothing, but the spirit gives life, and my words are spirit and life. And then he asks the disciples, his own apostles, he said, are you going to leave too? And they said, no, no one else has words of eternal life. Peter said that. And so this is the whole concept that it's the spirit that gives life, and if the flesh profits nothing, then Lent's a great time to be reminded, Lord, we want you to be very intentional to show us any area where we're walking in the flesh so that we won't experience loss anymore. Because if the opposite of profit is loss. If the flesh profits nothing, when we walk in the flesh in any area of our lives, we're actually suffering loss. Loss emotionally, loss experientially, spiritually, in every way, okay? You can feel it because sin isn't fun, right? So let me just read again a little bit these verses that Father Brett read. So after what Jesus spoke about in John 6, the walking on the water, the feeding the 10,000, 15,000, the things that have been happening, healing the man on the Sabbath day that we're talks about in John chapter 5, it says, after these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now, where was Jesus' home? Galilee, in Nazareth. Now, the feast of the Jews, the feast of tabernacles, was at hand. But his brothers therefore said to him, now, didn't say his disciples or his apostles, these were his brothers. And they weren't his cousins, they were his brothers. The word here, brother, comes from a Greek word that means same womb. And so his brothers said to him, notice what it says, Jesus wouldn't go into Judea because he knew they were trying to kill him. Now, he's obviously in the environment with family, and I don't think that's a shocker to them why he's not going into Jerusalem, into Judea, which is where Jerusalem is. But the Feast of Tabernacles happened, and his brothers, who I would think are aware of what's going on, because Jesus is no longer popular among the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're seeking to kill him, his brothers said to him, depart from here and go into Judea. Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may behold your works you are doing, those who are following you. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Well, I thought, well, that's neat. His brothers were concerned, wanted his ministry to grow and for people to recognize that he was who he was, the Messiah. But it says in verse 5, for not even his brothers were believing in him. And Jesus therefore said to them, my time is not yet at hand, but your time is always opportune or ready or prepared. Turn my page of my Bible. Jesus said, the world cannot hate you, but hates me, because I testify that its deeds are evil. Let me read this verse to you. This is from 1 Chronicles 14. It's also recorded in 2 Samuel 5. This is a battle at Baal Perazim that David was involved with the Philistines, and it's recorded in both those places, both in 2 Samuel and here. And it says, they came up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand, like the breakthrough of waters. And therefore, they named the place Baal Perazim. And the word Baal Perazim means he's Lord or the owner of breakthroughs. So that's an important word and I'll remind CTKers as we walk through Lent, is that Lent's about breakthroughs. But Jesus is the owner of breakthroughs. It's not about, I want a breakthrough like a thing. so I can know more Jesus. It's about knowing more Jesus, and when you do, you have a breakthrough. Because he's the breakthrough. I was praying this morning. I said, Lord, I was praying about a breakthrough. He said, I am the breakthrough. And he is the breakthrough, because we break through as we seek him, as we follow him. And I mean by that is that we intensely abide in him and seek him and walk in unity with our union together. And as we do, he just carries me further and further into my experience of him. And all those are breakthroughs. It's the breakthrough of his life. It's not your breakthrough. It's all the breakthroughs that he is. The anointing that you're longing for, he's that breakthrough. The peace that you want, is that breakthrough? He's that breakthrough. The kindness that you want to start walking in, he's that breakthrough. So it's about all him. It's in him. But the interesting thing to me is that in the scripture that blesses me is that his brothers know that his life is being threatened. And Judea is the place that Jesus is avoiding, because the people there are seeking, that's where all the Pharisees, you know, most of them lived, are seeking to kill him. And yet they look at their brother and they say to him, their half-brother, and say to him, or what would they be? Stepbrother? Something brother. Stepbrother. They look at him and they say, look, if you really want this thing, if you really are who you say you are, your followers need to see your demonstration, you want to show yourself to the world. Well, in some ways it's a mocking, but it certainly is rejection, because they're just being insensitive and kind of nasty. Now, what I love about this is that Jesus said, the world hates me because I've come to reveal that their deeds are evil. So we think about evil deeds like murder and corruption and things like that. But Jesus, in this context, has just experienced rejection and insensitivity from those who are closest to him. That's evil. When you're nasty to people, when you reject them with a look or with a word or with whatever, that's evil. That's an evil deed. It didn't mean you're evil. It means that the evil one, you're walking in brokenness. That's Jesus came to conquer evil. But also Jesus modeled to us that the other evil would be, if you've ever been rejected, that you feel so rejected and it makes you feel so insecure. Or people say insensitive things to you and you get your feelings hurt. But what I love about this is that Jesus didn't. Clothed in humanity, my humanity and your humanity, when his close brothers said to him these things, instead of getting his feelings hurt, instead of giving in to feelings of rejection and therefore insecurity, because you know insecurity is evil. I don't mean that you're trying to be evil. It's part of fallenness. It's sin. And getting your feelings hurt and hanging on to feelings hurt is sin. And Jesus didn't respond to them by being hurt with them, walking around with his feelings hurt, feeling rejected by them, therefore being offended, feeling insecure. And yet, that's what happened here. But you see, Jesus was showing us he came to conquer evil. And he's showing us that it's not just when you're nasty to people and you're mean to them, family, here the context, people the closest to you, sometimes those are the easiest ones to be insensitive to, right? To be rude to be curt with, to kind of be in an attitude with, because you know, Jesus doesn't do attitudes, because attitudes are sin. Self-pity is sin. And Jesus was wallowing in self-pity because his brothers were telling him to go somewhere they knew his life was being threatened, because they weren't believing him yet. But Jesus' response to them was, my hour is not yet come, but yours is always opportune. What I'm concerned about is that you're not a believer yet, that you've not join the rescue. You've not been rescued yet. That you've not said yes yet to the Father's revelation of the Messiah who's come for you. Do you see that? It wasn't about him. He wasn't hurt by them. He was hurt for them. He wasn't feeling sorry for himself. He had compassion and pity on them because of what they were doing and the way they were behaving was a revelation of their brokenness. If every time someone disappoints you, If every time someone says something insensitive to you, if every time someone rejects you, if every time someone says something offensive to you, and you're going to get your feelings hurt and feel rejected and get into self-pity, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. And that's the stuff Jesus came to set you free from. The Jesus who lives in you is this Jesus. The one who says that he's your life, that you're in union with, doesn't walk around in anger, self-pity, insecurity because I got rejected, hurt feelings. He doesn't respond. You see, their sinfulness and brokenness was revealed. Jesus' victory was revealed. And that's the life he wants to live through us. Here's how God works. It's powerful. So does God want people to be mean to you, especially those who are closest to you, to be insensitive to you, to hurt your feelings, to reject you? No, he doesn't want people to sin. But does he use that to teach you how to draw on the life of Jesus? To hear Jesus say, Chuck, I don't get my feelings hurt. I'm hurting for them. And that's where repentance happened. He's revealing the flesh. He's given me an opportunity to be free from the flesh because the flesh profits nothing. There's no joy. There's no glory. There's no fun in having your feelings hurt, walking around in self-pity. There's no glory in that. When he says that, he's inviting me to trust him, who's my life, that he knows the way. He is the way. And so in childlike trust, say, yes, Lord, I agree. That's not who we are. And then it doesn't happen. I've given him permission now to live, and I'm experiencing what he has. He's hurt for them. He's offended for them. He's concerned about them. Let me just say that, how much freedom there is in that. How much freedom and an unbelievable joy there is in that. It's not you trying to not be hurt. It's you surrendering to the one who doesn't. It's not you trying to not be offended and feel sorry for yourself. It's you saying yes to the one who doesn't do that, who doesn't live like that. And therefore, you're experiencing his victory, his freedom. To walk around without hurt feelings anymore, to walk around without feeling rejected all the time, to walk around without self-pity issues all the time, and all the junk that goes on in your mind because of all that, to be free from that kind of stuff, that's what Lent's all about. Is because the flesh profits nothing, giving him permission to reveal that which is flesh so that I can be set free. I love that story. It was when I first time I read it, I thought, what a weird thing to put in there. His brothers. I mean, of all people who should, his brothers. You mean your sister said something to you? Your mom said something to you? Your dad said something? Your brother, your close friend failed you? Hurt your feelings, offended you, was insensitive to you? Disappointed you and you're hurt with them and you feel sorry for them, come. That's profits nothing. See, victory in Christ isn't everybody else in the world behaving perfectly so you don't have a chance to do this anymore. Victory is, in light of the fallen world, you're able to walk in Christ-likeness and the freedom that comes with it. Amen? Amen. Now, I know none of you have ever experienced any of this. But just in case you have, Jesus said, it was for freedom's sake that I set you free. Don't stop rationalizing why it's okay to be in bondage. It's not their fault. It's your flesh. Because this is going to happen sometimes. And really what I've discovered are those who are closest to me and family who hurt my feelings is the worst hurt of all. And what a horrible way to live. Wouldn't it be awesome to not get hurt and realize they're doing that out of their brokenness, and I'm concerned about them finding their breakthrough because I'm walking in mine, and I just love you more. Amen? Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.